Innovation, disruption, and big issues. This is Business Game Changers with Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have David Williams coming back, and this time I wanted to take a little bit different approach with him. I wanted to ask him questions based on all the big issues that are going on, and then have him answer the questions framed in his understanding of how the United States is formed, the infrastructure of the world, and answer those questions based on that paradigm so that we can start to have a framework on how we can solve some of these problems. Got to tell you, I'm starting to understand what he's talking about from a theoretical standpoint. My problem is my heart. I don't want to believe it. It's a hard thing to believe. And so I theoretically think I understand what he's talking about. But now I have to prove to myself that what he's saying is true, because I don't want him to be right. And I think if he's getting pushback, it's because of that. You don't want to believe that you've been lied to since you were born, or that you have no rights, because that's not what we're taught. And so I don't want that to be true, right? And so even though I can theoretically understand what he's saying, I have a hard time accepting it because I don't want him to be true. So I need to make that leap at some point, but I first need to prove to myself that he's true, or what he's saying is true, and then I can make that unwind things. But at this point, I theoretically understand it, but I don't want it to be true. So, and I think a lot of people are going to have that mindset after watching these interviews with him, because it's such a hard thing to accept. So if you can keep an open mind and you can bring yourself to really start to conceptually understand what he's saying, then maybe together we can start to solve these problems that we're seeing in the United States and the world and get to a better place. And maybe if there's anybody out there who has an open mind enough to have really tried to understand this and then debunk it, hey, I'll bring you on. I don't want anyone to try to come on who has cognitive dissonance and then is just adamant that he's wrong because you have cognitive dissonance. Those people are a dime a dozen. And with all the different paradigm shifts that I'm bringing forward, that kind of person, I don't want you to even, if you haven't spent the time trying to really understand this and comprehend it, don't even come to me about how wrong someone is. I don't even, and that's the same thing with the electric universe, with every theory I bring forward and the people who are experts trying to look at the world differently. If you have cognitive dissonance and all you are is debating and saying the person's wrong because you don't want to believe it, just go away. What we want on this channel are people that are willing to think about it and try to understand it. Because you can't say something's wrong until you understand what it is that they're saying in the first place. So with that, I want to welcome Prime Minister David Williams. Hi, David. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, good morning, Sarah. How are you?
I'm great. I wanted you back to be able to answer some of these questions. There's so many issues going on right now. And these questions and the issues, I would like you to put it into perspective based on your understanding of how our country really is formed, and help us understand how these questions would be reframed and restructured in a way that makes sense for how the country is really formed. Because we can't solve problems if we don't even understand the context in which we're in. And so I really want to hear you help us understand that. Are you up for it?
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. And here's something that you just said that is extremely important to understand right off the bat. If you don't ask the right questions, you're never going to get the right answers. So it's important to know the context. Otherwise, you're always, it's almost like anywhere you go now, in any business, if you don't ask them the right question, you don't get, they don't go out of their way to help anymore. It's like when we lived in St. Kitts, you know, I hardly understood how they spoke the Caribbean English when I first got there. And that's a place where really, if they don't know what you're asking them, they volunteer no information. And that's kind of the system that we're in. No one's volunteering the information. You have to go learn it. You have to study. real quick, because one of the things, one of the things that we've talked about in the first show, as far as structure of a country and a constitution, the word constitution comes from the word constitutio. It's Roman imperial law. And in the U.S. Constitution, specifically in Article 1, Section 8, it mentions this book. People think the Constitution is one page long. It's not one page long. It's more than this many pages long. Because in Article 6, it actually includes all the law that's passed. It says this Constitution and all the laws made in pursuance of it and all the treaties made by the authority of the United States shall be supreme law of the land. Those ands are plus signs. So this constitutes everything in terms of government and governance. And you have to know it. Now, I'm not going to pick up another book yet, but I've got a whole book down here on case law. And this book is specifically related to the law of nations, cases, documents, and notes. And there's over 2,500 decisions in the United States Supreme Court just on the law of nations itself and treaties. So, anyway, does that kind of start out
where we go with this? Well, let's ask my first question, okay? Many people are pushing for a constitution referendum with the states. The states all coming together and fixing our problems because they can do that. But what is your opinion on whether this will work or not, and why or why not?
That's a really broad question. And the first answer is no, they don't have the rights. The states are not sovereign above the federal government. And there's any number of places that this has been written. In the Lincoln Library of Essential Information, it says that the theory of state sovereignty, not the fact, Sarah, the theory of state sovereignty was ended by the outcome of the Civil War. And you can go look at most of the constitutions of the states right now. And I want to take off a little bit on a tangent with this one, because like the Nevada. One of the things that we're looking at doing is coming back out with education, because in all honesty, I'm back in the same position I was when I started the website the first time, and that is watching people put out false information. They're deriding you, calling you a shill. They're deriding me, calling me a liar and a fraud, and I'm not going to tolerate this. I mean, I've done a lot of things as far as gaining recognition with the U.S. or whatever, but I'm still a man. You're still a woman. According to treaty, everybody that's doing this to you and I, they're in violation of treaty. They're in violation of human rights treaties where it says treat each other as brothers one to another. So my problem with it is it does people a huge disservice for them not understanding what you and I are right now talking about, the basis and the foundation. So one of the guys that was telling me, he's one of the people and whatever, you could go right into the Nevada Constitution and it says in that Constitution, which he's claiming as his contract and his rights, claiming that he's one of the people, although he's not, he's claiming the Constitution as his contract, and that contract specifically says no citizen of this state nor the state itself has the right to secede. And that they must follow the supreme authority of the United States. Must. Now, I don't know what word. Have you got a word for me that's like higher than supreme? Mm-hmm. I don't get it. It says that the United States is the supreme authority. And this is by agreement. This is by contract. So that's how we get here. But we can go back further than that. And I'll just mention this. I mentioned it to you just a few minutes ago. Let me pull this one up. Why is it that the states don't have these rights? Is that really what we're looking at? Why don't they have the rights? And then why don't we know this? Or why didn't, like, I didn't know it until 1999?
Yeah, I mean, people really are passionate about this, and they're really trying to solve, we have a lot of issues in this country, so they're really trying to use this path to solve the problem. So why is this an issue constitutionally or structurally or...
Structurally, it all starts with debt. I've mentioned this in the first program. You can't fix a debt-based system. You can't fix a Keynesian monetary system that's based on fraud, that's based on debt. And this goes back to the origin of the United States. You can read this. What really gets me, Sarah, is that how people can go study all of this and still come to the wrong conclusions. Like, is so easy for me, and just looking at the titles of things. John Taylor of Caroline was one of the guys that went to the Constitutional Convention, then he left. He was in from New York. Those guys were all sworn to secrecy. These people were Masons. They swore themselves to secrecy. He came out with his book called Tyranny Unmasked in 1822, 2 years before he died, to talk about exactly what was going on with the state of the United States at that time. And when you read just the first 10 pages, nothing's changed. They're running up massive debt. They're spending the money unwisely. They're doing everything. Same problems that everybody's talking about today. And so what is it Einstein said? You can't solve your problems at the same level of thinking you were at when you created them. Now, here's another thing that you and I talked about briefly yesterday. I want to go into this. People think that we the people means them. That's not what it says in any of their documents. Capital M's it's just a different way of spelling a word or scribing it or writing it. So when you capitalize a word in the middle of a sentence like we the people, you're defining specific people. And they did it with the word people and the word posterity. The colonists at that time were still subjects of the king. You cannot change someone else's citizenship for them. That is a highly individual choice. It's an individual's decision. The only person that can change your citizenship is if you have a king or a master over you. And then they can trade you back and forth however they want to. This was done in 1794 in the John Jay Treaty. For anybody who's followed my material, they want to go purchase the DVDs and actually start learning something. That treaty set forth that if you no longer wanted to be a British subject, you had to let the king know by June 1st of 1796, otherwise you became a U.S. citizen by default. And at that time, the troops were still here from Britain. They were talking about removing the troops and the forts and the arsenals and all that. And Britain had a governor general over the United States. Now that's mentioned in the treaty. So people when I go down this kind of path, it starts really, it's almost like it hurts to think about these things because everyone has a hard emotional attachment to what they have been taught, to what they believe is true. This is why unlearning is so difficult, is because of the emotional attachment to it.
Well, it's your whole paradigm. You have cognitive dissonance, and cognitive dissonance is something that's very strong. You can't even see it. I mean, you can't. So let's talk about this. This maybe will help a lot. When the South wanted to succeed, was it because of this reason? The debt system, and they wanted to have their own freedom in that way?
Well, there were several issues going on. Most of it was related to money, but the South couldn't secede because the Union had already been formed to form a more perfect Union. And since the debts had never been paid from the time of the Revolutionary War, you can't just walk away. Okay, you gotta settle the matter somehow before you can just walk away. And here's something that I don't have to bring up so many issues here. In common law, like those states, and I said this to you yesterday, even with the United States, and this is the power of self-determination in a nutshell. If you want to form something new, that's okay. But when somebody forms something, those men that formed those compacts, then they own that name. They own that captioning. They own it. It's theirs. Under common law and under common law copyright, that's their name. You can't take possession of something that's not yours. So the people can change their constitutions. They can do all this. It's all outlined in the Law of Nations of how to do it, but it has to be done by the majority. The majority of U.S. citizens are never going to do this. 52% of people are on welfare now. There's never going to be a majority that's actually going to rise up and do what international law calls for it to do peacefully. Do it peacefully. Every secession movement that's ever existed has been ended up in war, and the people that succeeded, because they didn't learn how to self-govern again, they just ended up back under the same people. Because picking up a pitchfork or a sword or weapons does not get you in a position where you can govern. So you end up looking for someone else to come govern you again because you haven't learned.
So you can create a new entity, But you can't leave the entity you're in without creating something new and then and being established, doing self-determination and creating something new. But you can't just succeed and take stuff with you, because taking stuff with you is, that goes against, I mean, you can't take something that's not yours.
You could if it was a majority, but going back to like the colonists, the loyalists that were in the United States at the time of Revolutionary War far outnumbered the number of people that were going to go buck the king. They didn't really want to buck the king. They still had the divine right of kings running around in their paradigm, their cognitive dissonance, their emotional attachment to it. So there's a lot of people that just were not on board with it. They weren't just fighting British soldiers. They were fighting their brothers and sisters everywhere else around the U.S. It's the reason why you end up things like Virginia and West Virginia. Families fought against each other. Families killed each other over these issues. But at the same time, that doesn't mean it gained them any kind of status or standing. And I want to make a mention of this because there's so many places we could go to.
So before you move on, was it almost a waste of their time? I mean, did they get anything from it? Other than everybody killing each other?
No. Britain got a lot from it. Let me tell you how. If you look at what happened, and there's a great video that people need to go watch. It's called The Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers, because it really talks about what was going on with all those men at that time. See, when they couldn't pay back the debts, their troops actually rebelled against them. They had to flee to Annapolis. They had to get out of Philadelphia and flee to Annapolis. They had to sue the king for peace. And he finally said, okay, I'll treat with you as sovereign states in the Treaty of Paris. States. Now, I'm going to have to mention a court case here because, you know, we're getting into some interviews that you've done since you and I talked, because we've been kind of off for a while. A lot of things are happening in the current events world that you were talking about in some of your other interviews. The thing with Las Vegas, the thing up in New York that just occurred. There's a lot of unrest that's happening and on many, many fronts right now, just like what you're talking about. There's a, I think it's 1795, three-judge panel review of the Dones versus Penhollow case. It was an admiralty case. And it says right in there that the states, when they were putting all this constitution together to make a more powerful central government, that was the issue, was to create a powerful central government, because they couldn't get the states to pay the requisitions on the debt. So they had to form a more powerful central government. Now, this means that president ends up presiding over a bankruptcy. That's what he is, a presiding. Patrick Henry says president's going to have the powers of a king. Well, if he's got the powers of a king, why don't you just call him king? Is this more wordcraft here so that we can just think something occurred that didn't? Because when you read that three-judge panel review, it says specifically in there that the power that the Congress requested, meaning United States in Congress assemble, was countersigned by all the governors in every state. Now, people don't understand why that's important. If you go read Bertel's Self-Culture, all those governments were proprietary governments under royal charters. I have that up on my little other little laptop here. If I had to really pull it up and we could take a look at it, show people where to go. Because this Bertel's Self-Culture was taught in the 1800s in civics. They actually taught how these governments were formed as proprietary governments. So in that three-judge panel review, it says that the power that Congress requested was countersigned by all the governors of every state. And at that time, all private property was in the hands of the state, and all public property was in the hands of the U.S. Congress. Well, if the property is in the hands of the state, what's that got to do with the individual? You're just paying land rent. They used to call it land rent. And in the Chisholm versus Georgia case, it literally says in there that the American citizens are equal as fellow citizens and as joint tenants in the sovereignty. And you and I, you put in business. What's the word tenant mean?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, so the government can take people's land at any time, and it's really the way it works. But we can fight back and say, we don't want you to operate this way. And this is what we expect of you. And then maybe they can, maybe they will, maybe they won't.
Well, we're talking about we here because, see, I've said this about, if you go read the Law of Nations, there's three forms of government: democracies, monarchies, and republics. But republics are not called republics in the Law of Nations. They're called aristocratic republics. They're run by aristocrats. And people see, this is the other thing that people were into, this whole common law thing, and that they've been programmed that republics are the best form of government. Rome was a republic. Guess who it was run by?
The elites.
Caesar, right? It was run by Caesar.
Well, didn't they have a Senate too that were able to control some things?
They had a Senate, but they always had to appeal to Caesar. Same thing here in the United States. If you go read John Quincy Adams' writings in the Jubilee of the Constitution, he says specifically in there that the powers of the Congress are limited, but the powers of the president were given an unlimited form. He even says these more than dictatorial powers. So what they did, if you really want to look at it, when I finally figured out what they did and putting it all under one president, I'm like, so they took all these companies, the proprietary royal charters of these governments, and they basically did the biggest corporate merger that ever existed at that time and merged them all into one guy. One guy.
Okay. Okay, well then let's go to another topic here and see how this relates or does not at all. The CIA is involved, they're very corrupt. People say they're thoroughly corrupt to its core. They're involved with human organ and child trafficking. Is this and other corruption like it, aside from financial stuff and business stuff, is this a separate issue?
No, it's really the same issue. When you look at the history of how this has all evolved, the elite, or whatever you want to say, the bankers, however they've done that, like when they took over the Bank of England, they've always had the biggest intelligence gathering networks around. That's how they got control. This is private.
Yeah, but what about so CIA is private. It's not they don't answer to the people, but isn't the bad behavior that they do, can we fix that or do something about that without restructuring our government?
They wouldn't make a bit of difference one way or the other. You have to completely get out of it. They're not going to change. I mean, this has only gotten worse. And if you look at the things that Woodrow Wilson has said, I want to send you a book, by the way. It's on a PDF. I don't even know if it's printed anymore or actually sold. It is a small little book about economic solutions put out by Peter Kershaw years and years ago. And it's just full of quotes. And some of the first quotes about the Federal Reserve and for presidents, like Woodrow Wilson said, he said, once you get to this level, he said, there's giants of industries that are scared of something. There's a power behind this so well organized that if you're going to speak in derision of it, you better not speak above a whisper.
And so, that is the private CIA and all these powers that control the United States corporation and the corporations of other countries?
And they're in total control of everything through the private banking system, through all the central banks. This is part of the Marxist 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, is to centralize credit, centralize communication, centralize everything. That's what they've done. The United States does it better than everybody else. They're operating those planks. And I'd defy anyone to go read the 10 planks of that manifesto and tell me that they're not doing it better than everybody else.
I would say that we've created such a mess internally that people are starting to reject everything, and there's going to be civil unrest and everything else. So they have to do something to keep it from being complete chaos.
Oh, no, either way, it doesn't matter. People being ignorant and sitting around and doing nothing serves them. And then when they go into chaos, that serves them. That serves what's happening as far as building the global military industrial complex. That's the end game. That's the goal. Human nature is out of control. You know, we like to feel like we're not like part of the animal kingdom. And then sometimes when you look around at what people do, you go, yeah.
We are animals. I don't think we're very evolved.
I mean, there's more. I got friends of mine that live in Chicago. They'll tell you there's a war zone. Yeah. Americans love killing Americans. So people want to talk about change, and we're going to change something. But in a representative government, you have to appeal to them, and they're not going to change either. They're going to continue doing what they're doing. I love the fact that I've said this so many times. Every 4 years, they run an election, and every single time they operate on the platform of change. Well, guess what? They do change it every 4 years. It just gets worse all the time. It has not, in my lifetime, when I was looking at doing this, And we moved to St. Kitts in 1999. I was like, I've had enough of this. I don't want my energy being used. It is an energy transfer. And this is mentioned specifically in Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. And so the wealth of the nation is being transferred. But back to what we're talking about, people want to, they don't understand this doctrine of e pluribus unum. They don't go read treaties. In treaties, it says that the federated state is viewed as a sole person in the eyes of international law. Well, if you violate treaties where you're not treating each other as brothers one to another, you're just killing everybody. I mean, you're going and fighting and killing people in other countries, and then you're doing it internally as well. You're right. It's a huge mess. It's a huge mess.
Well, you're saying that it's a transfer of wealth. Who are we transferring this wealth to?
Oh, as it says, from the unworthy masses to the worthy few. So that is the central banking system itself. There's families that own this at the top. It's mentioned in Supreme Court cases. They have no, it was like people are running around for how many years have you heard we need to audit the Fed? What does this mean? We? Who's we? Who's going to audit the Fed? They don't have any standing to audit the Fed. The Fed is separate and apart.
And yet, that's why they can't. I mean, that's why it's not. It's ridiculous, I think. I mean, I don't like to be part of something that we have absolute, we're sheep. We really are animals because we're part of a system and herded around and don't even know what we're part of.
They told everyone this in the Matrix movie. I mean, yeah, I couldn't, I mean, how could they get any more in your face to tell you, Neo, you were born a slave. The Matrix is all around you. And I found that Matrix in the writings of Vasily Leontief. It was published in Scientific American in 1980. He was the guy that wrote the software program that now runs the IRS mainframe. Everyone's plugged in. The new version of it is called the Federal Acquisition Regulation Matrix, which they, you can go look it up online, FAR Matrix. You can go find it. It's everywhere. Input-output economics, all based on Keynesian debt. This is the transfer. This is what's going on. I love it when I, you know, they do their little acronyms, FAR, Federal Acquisition Regulation Matrix. They always like to do them in three letters, though, and I kind of like the fourth letter, which is FARM. Everybody's on the farm. But the problem that you and I are talking about is people don't believe this. They've got an emotional attachment that they have freedom. Here's some other paradigms they have. I have God-given rights. Well, if everybody's got God-given rights, what happened to North Korea? Them people ain't got no rights. Where do you think you have some? I mean, when you were born, did you know God?
Well, we do in so our... Well, you said that our Constitution is almost like an employee manual. So this employee manual gives us some rights, if you will.
No, it doesn't. There's no right in there. There's only one right mentioned in the Constitution. It's the right of habeas corpus. And then here again...
And what is that?
Well, it's the right to be have the body come out if it's being detained and it shouldn't be. But even there, the same thing happens here again with this mental cognitive dissonance programming. Time and time again, I've heard these patriots say, you can't suspend the right of habeas corpus. And I'm like, what are you doing, reading half verses again? That's not what it says. It says, except in public times of public danger, public safety. Well, if you're the one that's endangering the public, according to them, as they have the power to pass all laws necessary and proper, then they can suspend your right of habeas corpus at any time. And these are, we're going back and talking about old law. The new evolution of this is unbelievable. The NDAA and what they can do, and they can now rip your citizenship away from you.
Then what do they do? They rip it away from you and you become what?
You become nothing. You become stateless. You have no one on the planet to defend you, help you, or help you do anything. No one. No one's coming to your defense.
Well, that's kind of what's going on with Haiti. That's why they are just being pillaged.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that these, even the nations of the world do not, when I say they don't read, people don't read. And here, if we come out with new education again, and we're looking at this now, I already told you, I was trying to leave three keys to freedom as something pristine, something above it all or whatever. And I now realize just by doing our interviews, I'm back into the muck and mire. Back out here.
That's where everybody's at. Nobody understands this.
Yes,
this is a completely different paradigm. I mean, there's probably less than 0.0001% of people that are even in the ballpark of understanding what you're talking about. I'm being honest.
Yes,
it's a big paradigm change for the majority of people.
I'll tell you this, since you and I have been doing the show, I mean, I've done these three shows now, and I want to do maybe two or three more. There are specific things I'd like to cover. I'd like to cover the messages in the movies. I had somebody recently they've already been through the series that I did on the Extrication series, which I consider the best series I did on the DVD set, period, bar none. But he also went through the Ecclesiastical Law series, and he just sent me an email last Friday night. He said, the information in this DVD set is priceless. Priceless. See, these are the comments I get from thinking, rational people. What gets me hot and bothered as a man is that you, people like you, trying to do something good, trying to stand up, trying to make a difference, trying to learn, trying to educate yourself, people like me coming along and saying, look what I found 18 years ago. Look what has happened. And I don't consider myself better than anybody else, but once I saw the path, I conceptualized the things that had to be done. That my life is, what gets me about people is anytime someone wants to stand up and make a difference, like you're doing your stuff and you're doing it, one of your reasons for doing your show is for your own personal education and to put the information out there for other people. You're providing a service. For me, I've done the same thing over the years, and so many people I've helped pro bono get out of prison, stay out of prison, or whatever, run out and get out. Once they're there, you can't get them out. They're under contract. And this goes back to God-given rights. You have one God-given right, or whatever you want to call it, one right on this planet, one or only one. You have the right to contract, and that gives you the right to contract all your rights away, which is what people have done. But you come in here and you do these shows, and this is the reason I can't leave it on the table, because I don't understand this need for people to all of a sudden call you a shill, like they've done with me, you call you a liar, a fraud, all this kind of stuff. I don't understand that. Well, what is this? What is this? What's the purpose of this?
I don't know. I think they're trolls. They just like to be idiots. I'm to the point now where if you're going to be like that, please go away. Just go to another channel. Just go away. If you don't want to learn here, please go away.
But see, this is the reason I did what I did. Looking at self-determination, I no longer wanted to be a part of it. I understood the concept of e pluribus unum, that out of many are one. And if I'm one with them, and the universe is looking at me, it's like a gentleman that I was involved with back in 2008 and 2009 used to ask people, why do you want to clothe yourself with everyone else's dishonor? And so, I couldn't tell you how many, you remember when I said like a couple of shows ago that they are looking for honor at the top?
Mm-hmm.
Some of us, otherwise there would be no law libraries in the United States. I lived at St. Kitts, no law libraries. If you're not a barrister or solicitor, you don't have access to law.
So you're saying there are a handful of elites who are who have control, who are trying to give people access to self-determination and knowledge.
Oh, that's interesting. I just did an email. Let me read you something here real quick. Okay. And this is an email I was doing to a friend of mine because, see, here's when I say they put it out in movies, and this comes out of Ecclesiastical Law, any cable method that they want to use to put out notice, they're giving notice. Well, they know how many people are going to go read the Federal Registry? How many people are going to do, like my friend in the lady in Australia? She won her court case 2 years ago. She used self-determination. She's absolutely incredible. She's the type of person, it's interesting, I can call her up on Skype, like, say this morning, she's 15 hours ahead, and I'll just say, okay, what are you doing? And she'll say, well, I'm looking at a video out of the UN Audiovisual Library. I'm like, oh, just like every other woman on the planet, right? I'm looking at a video out of the UN Audiovisual Library. People like James Crawford, former World Court judge, stuff like that. So when I say that this is why I like to do a whole like movie kind of montage of what the messages are they're putting out in some of this. And one of the biggest ones for me is like the day the earth stood still. The message in that movie was only at the precipice does mankind change.
That's true.
You know, they were there to destroy the planet. They were there to destroy the planet. We're sick and tired of what you people are doing to the planet. If the earth dies, you die. If we kill you, we can repopulate this place because it sustains life. And so that's what the woman said. She said, I thought you said you were here to save us. He said, no, I said I was here to save the planet. And she went, oh, you're here to save the planet from us. See, how do you get, people want to rail against this. They think, that these people are all at the top are a bunch of morons and jerks or whatever. They don't know what they're doing. And I'm like, maybe you need to learn a little something and assess what you're doing. As I told people in 2011, when I kept getting all the complaints on my website about the elite and the government or whatever, and I finally, somebody just sent me, they blew me out in an email. And I just called a conference call and I said, I don't want to hear anything else anybody from anyone anymore. The complaint department for my website, for Matrix Solutions, has moved to Washington, D.C. You got a complaint, you go complain with them. I said, but don't complain with me until you clean up your own backyard.
Well, so I think people have a natural reaction to shoot the messenger. They're angry because they don't understand the message. And so because you're the one educating them, they just freak out. Or they think what you're saying is tyranny or something because it's not what they believe.
Even what I'm saying right now, I know it's the hardest message that you and I, that I put out on your shows.
But it see, is, because you're saying there's nothing we can do other than leave. And I have a hard time with it, too. I'm struggling. I mean, being honest.
Yes, I know. And that's the reason, yes. That's the reason why I wanted to do a couple more shows. But we are going to come back out, like I said, with education. I thought I was going to have a bunch of different categories with the new site, Three Keys to Freedom and all that. I realize now I need to divide it up.
Not that I don't believe you, because I know you're an honest person. It's just, it's so hard, you know. This, it's just a very hard message that you're sending. And it's like, okay, well, I, at my core, I need to fundamentally understand it myself before I can anything. I need to fundamentally understand everything that I'm trying to learn about before I'm like, okay, this is what I believe.
Where it started for me was admitting in 1999 that I had been lied to. I asked my ex-wife at that time, I just looked at her and I said, is it possible that everything we've been taught is a lie? I mean, I'm reading the Constitution that I never read before, and it tells me three times in that Constitution that everybody in that government is holding an office of honor, trust, or profit. I'm like, profit? They're in this to make profit? Who are they making the profit off of? Oh, me.
You. All of us. Well, let's move on. Let's move on to something that's really timely right now. There has George Soros put out a whole page ad about how November 4th is the beginning of the movement to impeach Trump. And you're saying that there's some significance behind this. I mean, what's going on with this? It seems like the entire establishment doesn't like Trump. So what's happening?
Trump is there by design. He didn't get there by accident. They wanted him there. There's not a single president. See, the power to vote, the privilege to vote, is not the power to elect. Americans don't elect anyone. The electoral college, the electors do that. So even in this system where people think that they have some, the voting is just an opinion poll. But they've already put the opinion in front of you. They've already put down the two candidates, and they don't really care which one of them gets in power.
But did we end up voting for Trump over Hillary? Did they decide both of those two were okay, and then we got Trump because we decided on Trump? Or did they already pre-decide Trump over Hillary?
I think it was already pre-decided.
Okay, so then what's all this animosity trying to impeach him and all this other stuff? It's like they're trying to create chaos. Somebody's trying to create chaos in our country.
The chaos is already here.
Yeah, but no, this is fueling it, whatever...
There's another message in the movies. I mean, I don't know what to tell people. They put it in V for Vendetta. It's futuristic. It says that there's, you know, it's around in 2022. Whether it's right or wrong, I'm just talking about what I see. And I've been seeing this for a very long time. Like I said, I moved to St. Kitts and did get out of here in 1999. But I've also said many times, and this is the reason I don't rail against the U.S. government. I'm talking about what I see. I'm not railing against it. It's like watching the movie The Matrix. If they don't want out of the Matrix, then leave them in the Matrix. You can't force them out.
Well,
and that's the way they're looking at
this. So basically, it's just human nature that's causing all this. You're saying,
yeah, like,
we're just kind of idiots. We don't understand what we're part of. We're fighting. We just don't get it.
It was the first thing I told you in the very first program. It was the first thing I told you before we ever did a program, and that was, or an interview, and that was the problem is human nature.
Yeah.
See, let me mention that real quick. See, that's a great one. I love that Matrix movie when the second scene is there with the architect, because, you know, ultimately he was told he was going to have to go back to Okay, well, that's the kind of the first level of the source was the architect of this system, going back to source. So he says in there, he's looking at all the TV screens, and what are they showing? All of his possible reactions. He had two choices to make. The first one was his reaction to the information that he had just been told by the architect. He told him the matrix is older than you know. This is the sixth generation of it. I can point it out in history. I see it. But I see this. I see the evolution of it and how they've turned it into an entire electronic database. And they actually call it the Matrix. The movie was named after the Leontief Matrix. The other choice that was there was he had two doors. Okay? So the first door he went through was he had to clean up his problem. He had to clean up his own backyard first before he could, you know, he was told he wasn't going to be able to, quote, save Zion or get into Zion. Now, it's interesting. He ends up doing both. Sacrificed himself for it, but he ends up doing both. He ends up saving her, cleaning up his own backyard, and then he ends up going to peace, as he told the machine world when he finally made it to source, when he finally got there. You can't defeat Smith. Why? Smith is me. He's me. Listen to what Smith says. Me, me, me. The good thing about being me is there's so many me's. So they're telling everyone. I mean, that movie, whoever did it, I can tell you this, the Wachowski brothers, they didn't understand that the Keymaker was the key. The rite of exile, the new door, was the rite of self-determination. The entire movie is about the rite of self-determination and that you can exist as a separate state if you go to peace and let the Matrix be what it is.
Okay, well, let's talk about, this is really interesting. Okay, how does the Federal Reserve fit into the United States corporation? I know you say it's profit, but should we pay an interest rate when it was created and they're skimming money off the top of all of us? It's established the IRS and they're taking money from us. Should that profit have gone to pay off our debts?
The way they do it now, you can't pay off the debts. I wish I had one of my props I'm missing right now is the points and authorities that I wrote, 240 pages. And in there, one of the things that I talk about is the unconscionability of any society running itself into debt for 240 years. That's just unconscionable. But then in 1913, changing it to a system where you can't even create money unless you're creating more debt, which means now you have created an inextinguishable debt. It cannot be extinguished because you have to print more debt or more money out of debt to pay off the debt you already have.
Well, but didn't, so now was the Federal Reserve created with the powers that be? They knew that they were going to just turn the United States into destitute then.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
But you also, okay, let's look at, I always, when I do like the DVD set and the teachings and stuff I do, I get into universal principles whether people want to believe them or not. And I don't talk about any specific religion because some of them are, all of them have elements that are right, and all of them have elements that are wrong. All of them. But from a universal principle standpoint, the so-called white race, if you want to get into that, like I told somebody one time, there's only one race on the planet. That's it. And because he was asking me, what do you think about bloodlines? And I went, oh, my bloodline goes back to Adam, I suppose. You got any more questions? So people want to get in this argument about, they think that somehow or another we were put here to come and fight each other?
No,
this is
ridiculous.
This honor. And even Spain, when they asked the University of Salamanca, they went and said, okay, is what we did to the Native Americans in the United States or United States of America, whatever you want to call it, is it lawful? And they said, according to the law of nations, it's certainly that it is not lawful. You genocided 100 million people.
So
genocided.
We do a lot of things that the law of nations says is wrong. But now what would be the purpose if they were behind the Federal Reserve being created and they knew the United States was going to be destitute, was it, from it? Were they just trying to get as much money as they can out of the system for themselves until the thing dies?
No, money's irrelevant to them. They print money. They don't need money. It's after who's
so
going to be.
So what was the point? What was the point to turn the United States into a destitute country?
It's called karmic payback.
I don't understand that. What do you mean? They.
Well,
why would they do that if they didn't care about money? Why would they turn us into debt slaves?
Even right now, what they've done, what they did in the 1800s, the whole issues of slavery and all this kind of stuff, what has been done in the name of. I always talk, I have a whole video on my series, I have a whole thing about doing things in the name of. The first thing on any contract is the name of the contract, what's on the name. When you're doing something in that name, and what is it doing? I mean, this response, this thing that ended up being named this is basically responsible for hundreds of years of war, rape, and murder. Did people think that it wasn't going to come back to bite them if they stay in association with it? That was my dilemma back in 99. What's going to happen to me personally if I continue with that contract? And so for me, and here's one of the things that's about to occur. I've got a whole team of this working on it now. My subscriber database has gone up on all of my YouTube channels because of your interviews. And I got another radio station now that wants to interview me or podcast.
Good.
And so, you know, it's like all of a sudden getting out here has been good for me because it re-energized me to make me realize that, yes, it's like I'm going to make it so it's multifaceted. Why? Because we're all multifaceted. We're like little diamonds, right? So there's a time where I need to be diplomatic. There's a time where I need to talk to the business people and say, okay, here's how you do business with immunity. My week this week is talking about getting recognition for sending two containers of aid down to Dominica because they just got blasted by Hurricane Maria. This is what my life is. I don't have frivolous conversations on a weekly basis with anyone. I'm not talking about the weather and the football games and American Idol and all that nonsense. You know, this is important. This is business. But I realize, like I said, coming back to your program, that you do have to get your hands dirty. There's a time where you're in the muck and mire of it. Yeah, you have to, because it's a disservice to me to allow them to put out their phony information that ends up like the guy in Vegas telling me I was all wrong because they're going to put you in prison, they're going to do this. How can you in good conscience teach that you're one of the people and you have constitutional rights? I go read that constitution and you have no rights in it. And then you tell people they're going to put you in prison. I've told people forever, I'm sick and tired of seeing good people go to prison. People that put out that kind of information should be embarrassed. And I am going to embarrass them.
Well, that's good. Because I'm
not worried about him. I'm worried about the people that listen to him. Because there are good people like you out here that are wanting to see change. But the change has to start at home.
Well, let's talk about the missing trillions from our government, right? We had 2.3 trillion missing. Rumsfeld talked about it. And then I think Building 7 had that information in there, the people investigating it, and then it got destroyed. And then since then, I think there's about 20 trillion that's been verified by different university professors and things that Catherine Austin Fitz is working with. There's a team of people. What's the deal with that? I mean, how can they take and funnel out $20 trillion? Is that part of the elites that own the United States? And what are they doing with that? And how can that be?
They really don't care. I mean, I really believe that there's like a class above and then there's classes below. It's just like, I look at ancient maxims. I'd love to do a whole show with you just on maxims and some of my maxims that I've created over these years. See, my first maxim, once I started reading the Constitution, and so once I started studying law, and I started with a probate, actually, and the way I came up with it was I saw that the lawyers that my ex-wife, when her husband got killed in a car wreck, the attorneys just made a fiasco out of it. And it was her and her kids, so she kind of wanted me to maintain hands-off until one day I saw all the bills, you know, $45,000 for the first 3 months' worth of bills. So I started going to study law. I started going out to law library, and I came back with a stack of documents in 2 weeks. 2 weeks, and I said, well, apparently those of us that don't know are at the mercy of liars.
Well, that's probably true, yeah. So it's one big lie, but that's a ton of money. So what the heck is going on? That's another way to make the United States destitute.
Yes, but there's the things that we're talking about, and it is frustrating, I know, for me, for you, whatever, because I'm trying to convey a message that's different than everybody else's message. You've been lied to all your life. You have no rights. You've been sold into bondage and slavery. And the only way out of it is one door. One key fits one door. That door made a light that they actually advertised for you in that movie. There's only one door. You can't fix this problem. It's too far gone. And it wasn't designed to be fixed, and even from the very beginning, because they have a hierarchical structure that starts from the Vatican that we talked about last time, all the way through the city of London, through D.C., it's the three city states that have always operated everything. the so-called spiritual center, the financial center in London, and the military enforcement arm to enforce international contracts. If you read the Law War Desk reference book, it's all about law. 2011, 2013, 2015. It actually went from about 400 pages to 1,500 pages. And that book is nothing. The Law of War is all about international law. And this is what the American Law Institute is doing. It's what the JAG Corps is doing. And people are sitting around basically thinking they know what's going on, and they know next to nothing about what's going on. So 2.3 trillion, Sarah, there's probably 10 times more, or even 100 times more, quote, money, whatever money would be, if you can call debt money. There's probably 100 times that's missing or gone, and people don't know what's going on at the top. I only see one goal. We talked about it. Human nature, in my opinion, is the problem.
You're saying that there's no way out for us, and the only way out is to actually get out. Okay, if that's the case, what happens if millions of people's light bulb goes on, maybe a million people, maybe that's doable, and they decide to leave the United States and create their own entity? Now, is that something that we can even do, or would that trigger a war and a complete, I mean, is it even something that will allow us to do?
Yes, of course. The highest principle of international law is the right of self-determination, because it's what they've always done. Every time a tyrant rose up, even they would get away from the tyrant. You know, because, you know, getting away from tyranny, and look at what the United States of America, those 52 guys figured that the king was being tyrannical. They stated it in their declaration of what he was doing. You can go read that declaration now. There's nothing, there's way more than what they put in their declaration that you and I, your things that you're talking about are way beyond what those people complained about back then. So what they did, even though they called it a revolution, it was really a civil war, but they did two problems. They're the ones that started the war. The Law of Nations says if you want to do it, you can form up a new form. It says you can sell your lands and take with you all your effects. I got a call back in November. See, there's no more land, but the UN is already talking about recognizing cyber communities. Now, we have land claim. That's in the South Pacific. And even then, you can have disputes over land claim and still have a state. But this whole thing about this dispute, the Law of Nations says if you're going to do it, you're at liberty to quit it. But it doesn't say that you're at liberty to start a war.
But why do they always have to leave? But why do they always have to leave tyrants? Why can't they get rid of the tyrant? I know in our case we have a big mess, but in a situation in the past, if a tyrant rises up and everything else is pretty good, why wouldn't you just get rid of the tyrant?
Well, a lot of people get rid of tyrants. They want to be governed. You know, Theodore Roosevelt said that man can never escape being governed. He either must govern himself or submit to being governed by others. And from lawlessness, fickleness, folly, or self-indulgence. Let me explain those. Lawlessness. Any lawlessness going on in America? Fickleness. People can't make up their minds. You know, they're just fickle. You know, they betray their own. They betray their own brethren. They do all that kind of stuff. Folly, meaning acting like a fool. Where is that written? Article 1, Section 1. In the U.S. Code, I'm sorry, Title I. Very first definition in the United States Code is of insane person and lunatic, and it says it shall include every idiot and person non compos mentis. They're telling everybody what they're ruling over. And so,
consider all of us idiots?
It's under the doctrine of Pater Patric. I actually had a little
laugh. So, unless you declare self-determination, you're an idiot in their mind.
It's the contract. I only read the contracts. I used to have, even on the website, people say, well, I believe this, or I believe that, or here's my belief system. And I used to tell them, just show me all of your contracts, and I'll tell you exactly what you believe.
That makes sense. But the people that we're under, because we're just ruled, do they
okay.
Do they think we're all idiots? Are we defined as idiots?
Yeah, the contract says so.
Yeah, so we're just a bunch of idiots. Okay.
Well, people got to start learning how to read. I mean, you know, they put it in the Corpus Juris Secundum and American Jurisprudence manuals that ignorance of the law is no excuse. So if you go into court, it's no excuse. And in Corpus Juris Secundum, and I teach this on the website, if you hire an attorney, he's an officer of the court. His first allegiance is to the judge, then to the public, and then to you. You don't even have first allegiance when you hire the attorney. But since he's an officer of the court, you become a ward of the court. What awards a court? They're either minors or persons of unsound mind. Non compos mentis. Unsound mind means you're crazy. So right now off the bat, and one of our guys that went into court one time, he was in with the judges and they were having a conversation in chambers, and they were talking about attorneys and hiring attorneys. And the judges said, yeah, we don't respect anybody that has to hire one of our mouthpieces.
Well, but the judge is an idiot. The judge is ruled over. The judge isn't self-determined, so they're idiots too.
It's one of the things that I've said along the way. It's really interesting because let me show you one thing, okay? I'm going to break my chair. I've got three-ring binders right here, okay? Brian put these together for me because these are all the PDF files that I read in the year 2015, okay? Things like Treaty Handbook. And you go through here with some of these, and you'll see tons of, I don't know if it's this one, but I got three of these sitting right here, just the studies I did in 2015. See, when they tell you that ignorance is no excuse, you know, here's the UN General Assembly, all these documents here. This is how you learn how the planet actually operates. You know, we're talking about it today, and, you know, like I really kind of thought today, and we've done, maybe we've done it, it's like, okay, we need to slow down a little bit. But I've told people this forever. I've re-listened to my own DVD series, and a lot of the presentations, when I did the teaching for 4 years, I kind of got tired of hearing my own voice. You know, people say, well, you like to talk. And I'm like, no, I don't really like to talk. I'm just good at it. You know, but it's not because I'm good at it. It's because that's the kind of study I did. That's the kind of stuff I read. You know, things like this.
What?
Third Restatement, Foreign Relations Law of the United States. See, this is how the planet operates. And so when people, but I still like to boil it down into simple maxims, Sarah. I mean, really simple maxims, because you're asking a great question. But the question ends up, in my mind, being answered by one simple quote that I found years ago, that all people end up getting the government they deserve.
And okay, that's a great quote. So let's talk about what self-determination brings to you. It for you, you have immunity, right? Now you have the ability to actually go make a difference in the world and to create and not to be part of the evil and the trafficking and actually go help people without being shut down. And is that how you see it? I mean, you don't have to pay taxes, which a lot of people would like, and you don't want to. Paying taxes for something good is important, I think, to help the community, but paying taxes to help fund evil and corruption is not good. But you're able to do things now. Can you explain that? Because people don't understand what's the point of self-determination if now you're just not a citizen anymore. But explain what the benefits are.
Well, okay, let me go back to the YouTube thing I mentioned. I'm going to start putting out conversations that I have on a daily basis. These phones right here, when they ring, every phone call gets recorded. And some of the people that have been calling me based on your shows or whatever, some of these conversations are really critical. They're crucial. Like I said with the DVD series, because what happens with this is the most important thing about my series and what I did is the mindset, changing the mindset. That's where it starts. It is a state if it's not a state of mind, right? And so when you have an oath of allegiance, you just go read the oath of allegiance to the United States. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm not taking that. It says that I shall have no other, that they're sovereign above me, and I shall have no other allegiance to anybody else but them. That is the oath. So people want to know how you get it by contract if you don't have any rights. Well, that's because you gave them all away. You know, you pledged allegiance to their flag. It's their flag, not yours. Oh, geez, I was going to bring this up. Anyway, let's go back. What was the question? I'm going off track a little bit.
I don't know what self-determination brings to you. Like, what is the benefit? And you've answered one question where it changes your perspective of your mind and that you understand what the world really is. But what other tangible benefits does it do?
Well, you mentioned I'm no longer pledged to that system. Okay, so for me, even though we talked about it from the very beginning about doing business with immunity, this is all doing business. And I didn't teach sovereignty. I didn't teach freedom. I taught immunity. Because people want to think that they have rights when really they have no rights. They call them civil rights. Civil rights are not rights. They're just privileges, and they can be revoked at any time.